And welcome to the new WHFR Journal. I am Susan Morrell, sitting in for Jay at the moment. He will be here a little bit later on in the show. And I'm joined here in the studio by Ned Apigian.
And thank you for having me.
Hi, Ned. How are you?
Not bad for an old guy.
He's young at heart. Ned is our local politician here at WHFR, and he knows all about the events in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights.
Right? Aspiring politician.
He's an aspiring politician. He's run for a post. What was the post you ran for?
Dearborn Heights City Council.
Dearborn Heights City Council.
Okay. Wayne County Commissioner.
Very good.
So state representative.
He has lots of expertise. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn. And I'm Susan Morrell, and I'm here.
And we're making waves here on WHFR.
Here with you on local news and views for the Journal. And I just want to mention that we do have a new mayor for the city of Detroit, and I think it was a little bit of a surprise that Dave Bing won the election. He was in the manufacturing enterprise of steel, the steel business, for 30 years, and he kept budgets balanced and making tough personnel decisions along the way. He's a professional basketball Hall of Famer and successful Detroit businessman, and he is 65 years old. And I saw his acceptance speech on television, and he seems to be very sincere and emotionally attached to the problems of the city, which he's got his hands full, but he's going to be dealing with the city budget and extensive layoffs. And I know there is a proposed 10% pay cut to city workers and cuts to public safety. And he's also very concerned about Cobble Hall and keeping the auto show here in the city of Detroit. And then, of course, the city's public schools are having very serious financial problems here. So he's got his hands full. And good luck to the new mayor of Detroit, Dave Bing. What do you say, Ned?
Well, the question is, how does what happens in Detroit ripple through to our primary cities here, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, which are part of the school system here, of which the Henry Ford Community College is a part of? I'm not sure it'll have much effect. The problems in the auto industry, as we all know, are going to have a bigger effect on all of us, but the answer to that is really difficult to understand, other than what I've read in this morning's Free Press about General Motors, their anticipated loss, I don't have the paper in front of me, was twice $24 billion, and it was $12 billion a year ago, the same time, and that does not portend well for their preventing them from going into bankruptcy, which of course would be not only a tragedy for those people involved with General Motors, but our whole region, and that says nothing about the problems that Chrysler is having in terms of meeting the federal deadline for them to make their deal with Fiat. So
yeah,
the region is suffering, and to me, I think it reflects on the whole country.
Well,
about all the local issue that could bring on us that we could talk about.
We have lots of problems here in Michigan, and so the mayor of the city of Detroit is going to have his hands filled with problems ahead. But
not to mention the governor of the state of Michigan.
He says he's ready to go. He's ready to go to work for Detroit. So good luck to the new mayor of Detroit, and certainly good luck to the city of Detroit resolving some of these problems. And hopefully it'll be a fresh new start. But we've got a lot of stories to cover here.
Dearborn Heights.
Local stories and more stories about the auto the big three, the auto three, where are they headed? But I just want to mention one story that's in the Times Herald from Wednesday, May 6th, about La Chiche. We had our favorite restaurant here that closed not long ago. And the headline is, La Chiche owner's wife is headed for deportation. The wife of a fugitive former La Chiche restaurant owner, Talil Shaheen, was taken into custody last week in a precursor to her eventual deportation. And immigration agents took Alfat El Aour. Is that how you pronounce that, Ned?
Aour, I would Aour. Think.
And she's 42 years of age, into custody April 22nd at a relative's house in Dearborn, where she had been living with her three children since being released from an 18-month prison term. I didn't know she was in prison for 18 months. She was in prison in May 2007 for helping Shaheen evade nearly $7 million in income tax from the now-closed La Chiche restaurant chain, one of my favorite restaurants. While imprisoned, El Aour also received a 90-day sentence for entering into a fraudulent marriage for immigration purposes in 1990. And that sentence was served concurrently. Who did she marry? Who was it for fraudulent marriage?
I think. I'm not sure. But you know what a fraudulent marriage is.
Who was the fraudulent marriage with?
It doesn't say.
I don't follow this.
I would assume it may have been her husband, and she... there must have been somebody else in order to get into the country.
Oh, this is a sad story. So she's going to be deported, and then I wonder...
She has a sister that pulled a trick that has the same problem. She came illegally and said she was married to somebody. At the same time, her sister made an application to work for the CIA.
Oh.
Actually got employed with the CIA. And then they found out that her application was fraudulent about being married. So it's an old trick. You come over here, you get married, then you get divorced.
I don't know how you find out about a fraudulent marriage, but anyway, she's got three children.
The people that you married in the end turn you in for some reason because you didn't pay them enough or whatever.
Is that how that works? Okay, and then she's got three children, and I guess what? The three children will go be deported with her. Is that...
I would imagine, because her husband is there. And when he left, they took a lot of money with him, so they're not impoverished.
Okay, so Ned...
sad story. She served the time, and he got off. And unfortunately, I believe there was a story a year ago where her son was accused and convicted of murder by shooting somebody on Warren Avenue.
But what happened to Talal Shaheen? And
he's in Lebanon.
Oh, he left the country.
She helped him get out, and they took money with him, too.
And so he got away.
He got away, and I guess one of their basic problems was they weren't paying their taxes.
That's a sad story, because that was really a good restaurant, La Chiche restaurant. That was really good food.
Well, I think there was a dozen of them by the time he was through.
That's it. Okay, what kind of a story do you have for us?
Well, going back to the pleasant news of Dearborn...
More pleasant news.
We just thought the community might be interested into what happened to Mrs. La Chiche. Well, finally, the $70 million medical center breaks ground. That's a development at the former ward site set for December 2010. And this article also finds itself in the Times Herald. This is the much-delayed project that Jay and I have spoken about on this program many times. It will break ground now, but the new medical center soon will be apparent. Construction already has started on the Dearborn Town Center on the former Montgomery Ward site. That's what they call the project. And those of you who are familiar, the famous corner of Michigan and Schaefer. O'Reilly, our mayor, along with other officials from the city, Oakwood Health Care, which is going to be a part of this, and Midwest Health Clinic, joined to take part in the reception and groundbreaking on April the 29th, that's last week, for the new development, which will offer a medical, retail, and eventually senior living. And this is how they conclude their hope for everything. The mayor says, we're quoting, We're bringing working people to the district who are going to be spending money, he said. Our local businesses can't wait for this to happen. The 250,000-square-foot Dearborn Town Center will be completed in three phases. First will be an Oakwood Hospital clinic with an urgent care center. That might be useful, although Oakwood Hospital and the Fairlane Hospital are not that far away. A surgical center and a variety of physicians. When it's all finished, the new building will also feature shops, doctor's offices, and 100 senior citizen apartments. Well, like they say, let's see if it happens. In this market, very few things are going to be developed the way you think they will be, and we hope this one does, because the last thing the city of Dearborn needs is an empty lot on a major intersection.
Well, that's true. This is very true. So, anything else on that particular story?
No, that pretty well covers it. We can wish and hope for.
You're not sure of the success, how successful it will be?
I have no idea. The proof of the pie is in the eating, right?
Right.
I didn't build it, and I'll go visit it and see if I like it.
Okay.
I might not even like it, but...
Yeah, that's true.
The real question is, do you need it? So.
Well...
And the people investing their money in it think it's a possibility.
Well, we'll see. I just want to make an announcement about the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And this is from Sunday, May 3rd, from the Press and Guide, that they are having their yearly Mutt Strut for 2009 on May 16th at 9 a.m. at Dearborn's Ford Field. And
happens then? The Mutt Strut.
Well, they bring the dogs out, and they have all kinds of events for the dogs to participate in. They have a registration. They have a doggy fun zone. They have doggy health zone, celebration zone.
These are the ones they want to have adopted.
Well, yeah, these are dogs from the animal shelter, and then people can bring their own dogs, I presume. And then they have a pooch birthday party. And a Mutt Midway and Browser's Bistro. And then at 11:45 a.m., they have an announcement of prizes. And there's going to be a prize for Leader of the Pack and then Superstar Spirit. And then at noon, they'll have official ribbon cutting and a walk start. And then at 10 a.m. to noon, they have a microchip clinic. And then all day is dog-friendly businesses along the walk, and just all kinds of events.
What does this have to do with that promotion that the Michigan Humane Society is doing recently? You're familiar with that?
Well, this is separate. You know,
this
the Dearborn, yeah, the Dearborn Animal Shelter does their own promotions.
But that Humane Society thing, do you have anything on that?
No, I don't. But this the Mutt Strut, actually last year, they raised about $90,000, which is phenomenal, and you wouldn't think they'd be able to raise that much money, the Dearborn Animal Shelter. But as far as this year, donations from the community are more important than ever, because there are a lot more animals coming back to the shelter because of the economy, and they are seeing fewer donations, and they do need to make up the difference. And so, fortunately, they have some very generous businesses from Dearborn that are sponsoring the show, such as the Dearborn Family Pet Care, and they are a supporter, the Bailey's Pub and Grill, Buffalo Wild Wings, and Merchants Fine Wine, Del Taco, and Salon West are all supporters of the event, and Fairlane Ford is also going to be at the event. And the Mutt Strut extends along a one-mile stretch of Michigan Avenue between Brady and West Village Commons with a variety of pet-friendly activities.
On what side of the street? On Michigan Avenue?
That's what it says.
Lord have mercy.
And if you need more information, call the Dearborn Animal Shelter at 313-9432.
And the date is, again, May 16th, you said?
Yes, May 16th. 943-2697.
What day is May 16th?
May 16th.
Sunday?
I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Well, today is May 8th, and it's...
Maybe it's next Friday or Saturday.
Today is the 8th, right?
Today's the 8th.
Friday the 8th, so 7 days from now. It's got to be next Saturday.
So next Saturday, yeah, right. That makes sense.
Okay, it's time for our station identification. A quarter of our program has gone by already, and we haven't even gone through all the things we're hoping to. Not that they're all as interesting as one another. Some are more important than others. But you are listening to WHFR 89.3 FM, the college radio station of the Henry Ford Community College right here in Dearborn, Michigan. And your hosts today are
Susan Morrell. Susan Morrell and Netta Piggin.
And I just saw Jay walk by our glass from the student union. He'll be popping his head in shortly.
Yes. So, Ned,
I got something now after the...
You've got a story for us?
A little change of pace. From the pooches to the real important thing, political time. Their talk time with Tupac on Friday. That's tomorrow. Those of you who do not know, usually your state representative and your state senator do have published times and locations where they usually let their constituents know when they'll be at a particular restaurant, usually a McDonald's or something. And in the case of Tupac is the state representative of the city of Dearborn Heights, and that's why we're talking about it, Inkster, and a big share of Detroit, all the way from Five Points, that's Grand River and Telegraph, down to Inkster. So Tupac's talk time is a series of coffee hours with Senator Tupac Hunter, Democrat of Detroit, have been scheduled for this month. The first is from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday at McDonald's at 27125 Cherry Hill. That's pretty much on the corner of Inkster and Cherry Hill. On the south side of the street, which makes it Inkster, and the north side of the street, it would be Dearborn, I believe. No, Dearborn Heights. And the second is from 10 to 11 a.m. May 15th. Well, we'll tell you about that when the time comes. At McDonald's in Dearborn Heights, because he's Dearborn Heights' state senator, located on North Telegraph Road, north of Ford Road, on the east side of the street. He will be available to discuss the issues he currently is working on in Lansing, and anything you would like to complain about. And or if you have any ideas how he can do his job better, I'm sure he'll be happy to listen to you. I'm sure he'll listen to you. Whether he's happy to listen to you is another thing.
Right, right.
But
he sent me a Mother's Day card.
Yes, I got one. My wife got one the other day, too.
Yeah, what a nice guy.
They're all doing things like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's very friendly.
Instead of sending that... But, you know, all the politicians get free franking privileges. Those of you who do not know what free franking privileges are.
What does that mean?
It means you get to mail your stuff for free.
Oh, hey.
If you know those little packages you get from politicians? Those are free, and they are inordinately unfair for those who are not incumbents. Of course, those of us who are not incumbents don't have that opportunity. Anyway, our Jay is now here with us, and he could take his chair.
All right, we're switching chairs. Ned, keep talking.
Well, you know what?
Give us one more story, Ned, and we're going to... Me and Jay are going to switch chairs here.
Something about the Dearborn Symphony, because that's going to be tonight. And the Dearborn Symphony season climaxes this evening with a flourish. The Dearborn Symphony ends its 47th season at 8 p.m. tonight at Ford Community and Performing Arts Center with a snappy, upbeat program full of majesty, color, and speed, says the newspaper. Beethoven's Magnificent Fifth Piano Concerto, Emperor, is a highlight of the program. the lively overture to Glinka's opera, if you know what that is, Russian, and Ludmilla opens the program, following by Schubert's beautifully melodic Fifth Symphony. Now, what's interesting about that, if you come tonight, you'll see me, and you'll see Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright just preceded us on this program with his big band show, and you'll get to see us. We'll be passing out pens and encouraging those people to come and listen to our classical programming. The program features an interesting young man tonight. His name is Alan Yuan, a 15-year-old, who's a first prize winner of many competitions, including the 50th annual World Piano Competition. And then, without going into too much more detail about him, there's also another young man, Nathaniel Pierce, 18, grew up in a musical family. His parents are opera singers, and his sister plays the piano, and Pierce began cello studies. And so there's a large advertisement in the paper, Wunderkind, and I guess the Dearborn Youth Concert is going to be playing, where they're going to have a really, I guess they're going to conclude with two orchestras playing at the same time. So if you haven't bought your tickets yet to the Dearborn Symphony, there's another announcement about that I got to put my hands on about the symphony. But that's a little later. That has to do with the home visit show by the woman's, what they call Wadu. And I'll have to give
Wados.
Wados.
Wados, right. Yes.
But we'll get into that later. Jay's back. And
Well, you don't stop on my account. You're on a roll here. But
I was going to go into that Wados thing. When I first read it, I said, what on earth is Wados?
Okay, yeah, the Women's Auxiliary to the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, and they do a great job of fundraising for that very deserving nonprofit cultural organization in Dearborn. Yes, folks, my name is Jay Koronick, and thank you to Susan and Ned for sort of, they could have done the whole for themselves, but, you know, my ego is such that I can't stay away. There was a free lunch here in the Student Center, and I had to avail myself of that. I was retiring, and this was the retirement luncheon along with a whole bunch of other people.
Oh, is that what it was for you?
Hi, Jay. Just want to make sure my mic is working.
Yes, just in case she wants to say something more.
Was it just for you or other retirees?
No, not just for me. And they didn't let us give speeches, thank goodness. But I have WHFR to give speeches on, so I don't need to give speeches. But I'm just for those that care, I am just extremely deeply grateful in having had the opportunity to be an educator full-time here for 40 years.
They give you a gold watch or something?
They did give me a little something. It's in the bag there. It was a swag bag that we all got.
What's a swag bag?
It's free gifts. You know, sort of. And I think it was a beautiful little clock, mantle type thing that, you know, non-digital even. I think I got to wind it even. So it's real cool. No, nothing like that. But, tokens. I think education is an important job. And I think I've had the best job. In fact, I think educators are more needed now than ever in our world. And there's still a lot of work to be done. But happy to be, as they say, I think the theme song from WKRP in Cincinnati, an old TV show, was Baby, have you ever wondered what's become of me? I'm living on the air, and I'll change it to Dearborn. Dearborn WHFR FM. Okay, there you go. So I'm done talking about me now. But Wados is a wonderful organization. The last Dearborn Symphony performance of the season, as they say, is tonight, 8 p.m. And our WHFR team, again, since we host classical here, we're always trying to do what we can for the Dearborn Symphony. It's a wonderful local cultural organization. It'll be a wonderful night out, folks. I know there's a lot of big-time movies, but what do you want? Do you want this fantastic live music of the Dearborn Symphony and all their soloists and special guests, or Star Trek?
Oh, okay. So the new Star Trek movie's out this weekend.
I'm afraid so. It's a little bit of competition. There's several big movies.
Won't it be on the next day?
Sure, of course. Yeah, this is a one-time thing, folks. That's the bottom line, and people remember these things for years to come because they're so special, and we're glad to be a part of that Dearborn Symphony Orchestra family, and you'll see Ned there tonight.
You want to know something? I went to the last one, and the program was so enjoyable. I only wish that my wife knew about it, because I'm sure she would have enjoyed it very much. But then I went to the Detroit Symphony a month before that, and I enjoyed this program a lot better than the one at the DSO had put on.
Sure. Did we already talk about the mayor filing for re-election?
No, we didn't. We just talked about the new mayor in the city of Detroit.
Okay, well, we'll go to the Dearborn mayor then. And just very briefly, it is the headlines of the Dearborn Press and Guide this week. Mayor O'Reilly did turn in his petitions to run for his first full-time term. You know, he was elected, but it was just electing him to finish the term of Mayor Guido, who passed away a couple of years ago in December. And so he is the first candidate to officially file, because other people have pulled petitions. They've taken petitions out for this job, but they haven't returned them yet. There's still time. I think it's until May 12th.
May 12th.
And in addition, after they turn them in, they still have 3 days to pull them back out.
That's
if
right.
They want to give up. But obviously in that election to complete Mayor Guido's last term, Mayor O'Reilly got 90% of the vote, and he had many, many other challengers.
There was about 9, I think, or 13, if I remember.
Well, there was a lot of people running, and so obviously he had name recognition, and most of the others did not, so that means something right there. But a wonderful career as council president, Dearborn council president, always the highest vote getter. That makes him president of the council if you're the highest vote getter. I can't remember how many terms he was president of the council, because he was the highest vote getter for council, and that automatically made him president.
It helps if your father was the mayor.
Yes, well, that's the name recognition factor that helped him to stay on the council, I think. And of course, he is looking forward to the race. He says, I think it's good to have some competition. He's hoping somebody else might be competition. He says it helps frame the issues and their importance to the voters. I'm prepared to debate the issues. That's the good advantage. How can you have a debate with only yourself? I mean, if you're the only candidate running, there won't be any debates. There's no reason to set up a debate. Okay, and he might have some press releases, continue doing the job of mayor that he's already in. But if he has a candidate or two, then there'll be a chance to air, of course, the challenger's positions on the issues, but the mayor too. So I think it's good to have this competition, as he says. Yeah, he's got a lot of answers. We do thank him for calling in on this show 2 weeks ago on the Journal to fill us in on things happening in the city at that point. And I know he has a lot of friends out there that will be helping him campaign. In fact, there's a picture on the Press and Guide cover from this Wednesday, and when he turned them in, it was quite a press event. I mean, they even invited me to be there.
It wasn't unexpected that he would do that.
I didn't go, but I got to try to stay impartial here. But no, it certainly wasn't unexpected. We had talked to him, and he said he was really enjoying the job, the last two interviews I did with him on this show. And so if you're really enjoying it, the odds are you're going to continue, I think. John Conyers, Congressman John Conyers, Wayne County Commissioner Gary Warrenchuk, were right there side by side with him. Here's a little aside in terms of running for the council, and that's going to be a big field. But George Hart has pulled a petition, and he will probably be running too. Now, he's a former senator, state senator from Michigan, and he's been in politics a very long time here. And yes, he was also a former councilman. So he's running for council again, along with most of the incumbents. The only question mark here, and we pointed this out before, is Tom Tefelsky. He hasn't pulled a petition to run for mayor, will he run for council again? He is the current largest vote getter since O'Reilly moved on to be mayor, and therefore he does have a lot of name recognition and a lot of support since he got the most votes. So will he run? He said in the past that he thought, and for number one, he thought maybe he wouldn't run. He felt there needs to be a lot of new ideas on the city council. He didn't go into what those new ideas should be. We know that he was dissatisfied with the negotiations for the development of the so-called Montgomery Ward area, which is the Redico Corporation and their health center that's they broke ground on last week, that he didn't feel that was an appropriate choice or direction to go. And there's a lot of negatives, a lot of delays there, but even more delays in terms of West Dearborn development. And although he did totally agree that Mayor O'Reilly and the city did go and file suit against Burton Katzman, if that organization is still in existence, in West Dearborn to try to either speed things along or change the agenda in West Dearborn. So probably his new ideas had to do with that, since we know as council president he was upset with that. So after the 15th, which is a week from today, we will definitely know who is in the race, whether or not there'll be primaries this summer. And of course, WHFR.FM is going to be on the air. We have a special guest coming into the studio that's just an observer, and that's Hal Stokes. Hal was a member of Henry Ford Community College for many years here, and was part of the union and the social science department, and met him today at the retirement luncheon. And he hasn't seen these fantastic studios before. I didn't know we were here. He remembered when WHFR for 18 years was in the basement of the Fine Arts Building. So happy to have you sitting in here today. I wanted to talk about this, if I can, Ned, as long as I have the microphone right
sure,
now.
Sure, what is it? Tangled up?
Jay,
for...
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Because you were going to talk about, and I don't know if you want to, but Michael Moore's new movie.
Yes, and happy to do that. In fact, I know Hal, of the many issues that he has been an activist on in the local area, Sierra Club, environmental issues, political issues, that he has written a letter to the Press and Guide and the Times Herald, is that correct, about the problems with our economic system. And this feeds into the fact that I saw Michael Moore last Sunday Michigan Peach Term. No, I got to make this one up as we go along. Michael Moore was speaking to help raise money for the Michigan Peace Team. That's an organization in Michigan that I really hadn't heard of. I was part of Peace Action. Peace Team actually recruits and trains people to go into very, very violent situations and, if you will, defuse them. They're not taking bombs apart, but they're going even into, apparently they sent a peace team to Bosnia from Michigan, to Iraq, and they're trying to negotiate between, parties that are fighting. And, every bit of human contact and understanding can help. I thought it was extremely brave when I heard the stories of some of the Michigan Peace Team organization. But even in this country, they go and they go to situations where there's riots or violence and try to see what they can do to help improve the situation. Michael Moore's next movie, he did say, is going to be about capitalism. Subtitled not the joys of it, but the problems of it, like how we got into this economic mess, this almost depression, severe recession that we have this year.
Depends on who you are.
Yeah, and most economists say it's as bad as it was as the only time it was worse was back in the 1930s of the so-called Great Depression. And so what got us into that, his next documentary feature will be out in October. The title has not been released yet. But to give you a clue here, the clues he was telling us, he's going to go no holds barred to talk about how capitalism is not necessarily a totally wonderful thing. And socialism is not necessarily a totally bad thing by comparison. And it's... that's controversial to some people, of course.
But we got a mixture of both anyway.
That's right. You know, we've always had, since the 1930s, Social Security everybody loves, and not too many complaints about
that's a big capitalist program. Right?
The U.S. the U.S. Post Office, which, that's nationalized mail delivery. Of course, it's not, other people can do it if they wanted to, but they can't compete. So a lot of things we have, as I said on the show, that, it's hard to make rules. It's hard to be doctrinaire. You have to look realistically at what works in the world and what doesn't. Our healthcare system, for example, Michael Moore's last feature was called Sicko. I don't think it works. Okay, it's more expensive, and there's all those people uninsured that can't get into the health system. Almost 50 million right now. So that's not right if you care about people in this country having a fair and equal chance for a job and a life. Just not right. Many of us feel that way. And so I'm interested to see his movie, and we don't know the title, but it will be released nationally. He's already got a distribution deal in October of this year. Plus, yes, say yes to Michigan. He's shooting it all in Michigan, which is, of course, the scene of the worst disaster of the economic downturn in the whole United States. So it's appropriate for a couple of reasons. He is, some people think, oh, he lives in New York, he's a rich guy. He did move back 7 years ago. He lives in the Traverse City area, helps to run the State Theater up there, as well as work on writing books and making his documentary films. And my former student, Kirk Engfer, was his editor and co-producer, very proud to mention that, of Bowling for Columbine and Fahrenheit 9/11. And so there's a HFCC connection to Michael Moore also, even though his Sicko and his current movie is not, Kirk has moved on to his own career and doing very well, according to Michael, who I did get a chance to talk to for a few minutes. So whatever you think of him, you've got to read his stuff, Michael Moore, and watch his movies. They're all available, you know, to rent on DVD. Some of them are provoking, stimulating. Think about them. He's got good research, despite what you've heard on Fox News Channel. Okay. So, and may I keep continuing here? Okay. I want to talk about the story that's in the Metro Times this week. And, you know, the Metro Times only gets one or two investigative stories that they write because it's mostly an entertainment news free newspaper. But it is free, so I can plug it all I want to because it's free. Okay. It doesn't cost you anything to pick one up at one store or venue or another. And they have a great story about TV wasteland, how Michigan Cable wound up in court. Sandra Slobata has written this, and she's done great research as a telecom professor for those many years. You need to read it yourself because it's a couple pages long. But basically, I wanted to mention it too, because Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. from Dearborn, if I can find the page here, continued.
Well,
after the ads here,
part of the paper is underneath. It's underneath.
Oh,
right there.
I'm missing some pages. Oh,
you're
no
missing
wonder.
Pages, yeah.
Okay.
So, well, you're looking right over
no,
there.
But Jay, just to mention, I did read the story, mm-hmm. and it goes on yeah. for pages and pages. I mean, it's a yeah. very complicated issue.
Yes, it
really
is. Right.
I mean, a lot of details there. So Jay can iron out all the details for us and give us a good synopsis.
Well, now that you put it that way, I probably can't. But it appears the picture. Here's the Dearborn connection. We're local news here, folks. And views, even though we touch on issues, of course, that go beyond Dearborn. But it says right here at the subtitle under the picture of, it says Dearborn Mayor Jack O'Reilly has been involved with local cable franchising for nearly 30 years. And right now, City of Dearborn has no authority to say anything to Comcast, much less AT&T or WOW, because of a law the state of Michigan, with Governor Granholm's support, I'm sorry to say, passed. Now, they thought, this is a couple years ago, they gave AT&T, first ever, a statewide cable franchise, so they could go into any community they wanted to, without permission from the city, really, and start a cable TV business in competition with whoever was already there, whether it was Comcast or WOW. And the idea was, well, AT&T has a lot of resources. They'll probably have a good service. And they'll probably be able to cut costs, you know, get competition going between, well, it hasn't happened. AT&T, now that they're in Dearborn, I've checked their prices for the last year. I live in East Dearborn, and they've just, they're as expensive as everybody else, and it's still 10% increase a year almost in these costs.
I've had all three, and I think WOW is cheaper, but
yes.
I do have AT&T UVerse now. And,
okay, yeah.
What do you think of UVerse?
I think there's some aspects about the television command module, which is so much more simpler.
Okay, the remote control.
The remote control, you press one button to start the whole thing. When I had WOW, you had to press this button and that button, and I forgot what it was. I had all three in a month period.
Not against that, yeah. Do you still have approximately the same channels?
What you find out in their basic program, the thing that I didn't like about WOW is they didn't have C-SPAN 3.
Mm-hmm.
At all. They didn't offer it.
Yeah.
And that's where you hear the congressional you get one and two on all of them give you one, two, and three. Yeah. The feature that AT&T doesn't have now, which is just wonderful, that both WOW and Comcast give, is that when you call in, if someone calls you on your phone, that person's name and telephone number flashes on the screen. So you don't have to get up. You don't have to stare at some a little.
Okay. So you have a complete communication package.
Yeah, I guess
you have the home
telephone.
Phone too.
AT&T does not have that.
No, they do.
Or they do?
They don't have they have that feature. They're working on it.
Oh. Yeah.
But their system is fiber optic. It comes through a telephone line. Doesn't come through a cable.
Right.
And their picture, I think, is better.
Yeah, could be.
I think when you compare that with their HD, when you get HD, I think you'll end up with a better picture.
Yeah.
I think that's the promotion.
They're not saving costs, though. When I compared similar programming that I liked, I couldn't be on the lower level, which I am with WOW. I had to go to the second level, which is more expensive. Now, of course, I don't need a home phone, so I'm not part of that package because I use my cell phone everywhere. So I don't have and sometimes the big discount, if you get internet and cable and phone, it can be a reasonable package if you look at the cost of each one. And when you're just starting with them, of course, they give you a lower price for a year or so. Right. And then it goes up to the real price. One thing I did do, and others here at WHFR staff have done this too, they called their cable service, sort of like complaining about the cost and asking if there's a cheaper way to go. And I called WOW for a different reason, but then I thought, well, it's Joanne Kay, who's coming up on Highway 61 Blues show at 2:00. She said, well, I called them and they gave me a different rate. So I called them and, oh my gosh, I'm saving $10-$15 a month. They don't advertise this, but they will do it if you call them. You can bargain with them.
That's the thing. It's almost like working in Saudi Arabia. I hated it over there. You wonder, what's the price? I mean, Jesus.
You have to barter. Well, barter is more Middle Eastern sort of
activity. Here's what I learned, because I had all three about the same time. I don't pay bills. My wife does. And she said she was paying for Comcast. And I have no special stuff, no premium, anything. I was paying $173. The WOW came down greatly to about like 120, whereas AT&T was about 140.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the range without anything special. But I think AT&T offers 300 channels it's not the very top, but the one that I have. So it's difficult to compare because they're each slightly different.
The summary here, folks, is that local municipalities like Dearborn and others are suing or putting pressure on the representatives in Lansing to change the law or do away with that law. Nothing wrong with AT&T being a competitor, okay, but statewide gives it an unfair advantage over Comcast and WOW, in fact, who have to go from one city to the other. But what the cities want is what they call PEG channels. That is public access programming for the schools, for government, to be guaranteed. AT&T doesn't have to do that if they don't want to.
I think you're right. There is no public access.
Yeah.
I know that if you had WOW, because I've been on them myself.
Right.
And people would say, gee, I saw you on
television. Well, that was removed in the law that gave AT&T the contract. And Comcast, because of the unfairness, is still suing in the Michigan courts this law because it's unfair competition for them. So we'll see where that goes. But the also local access, we want must carry, that is all the broadcast stations. We want to have those on cable. And there's always been a debate whether or not cable had to do that or just give us satellite channels. But the public access channels are important. And this is something Glenn Beck, who I watched last night on Fox News. For years, he called himself a clown when he was on CNN, and now he really is. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's my personal opinion.
You know what? We need ID break.
Yeah, I just want to say that the qualifier here, Henry Ford Community College, did not tell me to say these things, and all apologies to those at the college that don't agree.
Did he say something that was like really funny or really just like...
Well,
totally
he was talking about states' rights.
Oh.
You know, since the governor
Civil
of
War,
Texas...
State rights?
Said, well, maybe we should secede because Texas has the right. I mean, when we got involved with the U.S., we did keep the right to leave if we wanted to, unlike any other state.
Well, and Texas wants to leave.
Well, no, not necessarily. It was a little veiled threat, and nobody thinks legally they have the right to leave.
No, they can't do it.
No. But the point is that Glenn Beck then has been on the state's right things, and I won't go into the details of the issue he brought up last night, but he, you know, he turns around right after he says, oh, state's rights, we're all for it, and he talked about how the federal government wanted to cut benefits for some of our postal workers, now soldiers or police officers who I think are hired locally, right? But the government actually gives extra money to their retirement or their health care benefits, believe it or not. And Obama wanted to cut that program in half. And I'm thinking, Glenn, you can't have it both ways. You can't have states' rights and then turn around and say, oh, we want the government to give us more. I mean, you know, that's...
if you think your pension is good, you ought to look at theirs.
It's inconsistent. Yeah, yeah. Inconsistent.
I mean, locally, if we want to do more for our police officers in Dearborn, we should vote. We should make it happen, you know, or the state of Michigan should vote. I mean, police officers, the last time I checked, are hired locally. Now, this was not an issue of our soldiers. I'm sorry I misspoke earlier. And so, but state rights here, this is a matter of local rights, that the local communities want to have the right to interact with the local franchises in terms of their public access channels, in terms of their government channels, and to help adjust the rates this is very important, to help support the claims about problems. So if people in the community have problems, the local cable commission set up by the city government, actually, not anymore, but used to be able to champion these people that are having trouble with their cable, and also suggest, if not put a little pressure on them, to keep their rates more fair.
But, you know, most people don't even call, Jay.
I know.
They don't even call because
that's why we're telling them to call right now.
I've had problems with Comcast from day one, and I've never called.
Well, that's your fault then, too. It shouldn't be. There should be other people.
When you're leaving, they'll actually make a deal with you.
Yeah. No, but I mean,
because I left two of the three, and they'll you can barter with them at any time.
That's especially the threat. Hey, I'm going to go with DirecTV, or I'm going to go with Comcast. Just say that, even if it's not quite true. But it's true. If you're so frustrated, you might. So it's only a half truth. Saying I'm thinking really of changing to.
No, but let me defend myself for one moment. I mean, yes, I've had problems. But the problem is, I'm always on the phone with Comcast with the problem. I don't have time to call. You know, the city local government and say, listen,
Comcast.
I'm having, you know,
the local because of this law, the local commission that has been appointed here in Dearborn doesn't have that power anymore to help you.
Right.
They still meet and talk, but they're almost powerless. So that's what the Mayor O'Reilly and the other local communities are trying to get back in, is some local rights and ways to interact with these people. Because it's very simple, folks. We have and my colleague in telecommunications, Susan McGraw, is reminding me, we have the second highest cable rates in the world. The first one is in Luxembourg. But, you know, there's no reason we don't have superior service.
How do we know that? That's interesting.
Well, people do studies. She did I thought it was the most expensive in the world. And talk about a digital divide, the people that can't afford the cable cost. And yes, there are many people like that, not just ones without out jobs, don't get the information. They don't have the internet connection, because that usually goes along with the package for cable, and they're not finding things out. You know, maybe they can listen to WHFR.FM over the air in their FM table radio. We hope so. But they can't get these other information sources. Newspapers are disappearing. Thank goodness in Dearborn we still have two. It's very hard to get news and information if you're not tied in with the internet these days. So anyway, that's the story, and you should read it for yourself in Metro Times this week.
No, but where is this going to go from here, Jay? That's my question.
We have to wait. Well, the legislature could jump in. Our legislators in the Lansing House and Senate could jump in and rewrite the law and modify things for the better.
Just include everybody.
Right. Or
wow, Brightmore, everybody, and give them a state contract.
One of the other lawsuits are going to go up to a high enough level, but of course AT&T will have their high-priced lawyers fight them for years and years and years. So even if the lawsuit is just and fair and likely to win, they're going to keep appealing it as long as possible so they can keep raking in the profits.
That's a Comcast lawsuit.
Well, Comcast, I think, and I just skimmed over this, I thought the...
AT&T has the state license.
A lot of the local cities have filed suit collectively, but that may not be true. They have certainly waged complaints. Oh, here it is. They filed complaints with the Michigan Public Service Commission. Okay, so we'll see. Well, it's a headline story there, so... Hal was commenting on that. That's certainly an activist issue that we think Hal will get involved in.
Well, how does that affect WHFR in any way?
Not at all.
It doesn't.
Oh, okay.
So there you
good.
Go. But our listeners, yes.
We don't have a cable channel.
No, but I'm just...
We're on the internet, of course, but it doesn't affect... if you have the internet, you can hear WHFR. If you don't, you need a smartphone that you're paying $80 to $100 a month in fees, like the iPhone or a BlackBerry, but you can listen to us that way.
So basically, it's power to control the market. It's marketing power from AT&T and Comcast.
It began with a unique statewide franchise for AT&T to build a cable system and compete, offering cable service anywhere in the state of Michigan they wanted to. And they weren't required to be everywhere. But anywhere they wanted to go, they wouldn't need permission from the local city. They just say, hey, we're building in your city, and we're going to be competition for Comcast.
Their U-verse system is not available everywhere. It's done block by block.
That's right.
You have to be in the right section. Right.
Well, they've only gone in the areas where, guess what, they can make the most profits. You know, they haven't gone in the poor areas of Detroit, I understand. They haven't gone because they don't think they can make it. So they're not forced to do that. The franchises, like for Dearborn, when they originally went in, the company had to agree to go up and down every single street and not provide free cable service, but at least if you wanted it and could afford it, you could get it. AT&T, I wanted to explore their service just to check prices for about a year and a half now since this law went into effect. Oh, not available in your area. Why? Because East Dearborn doesn't have as high an economic income level as West Dearborn.
I got it. I'm bombarded by mail from them constantly.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah.
I just assumed they were writing everybody.
Right. So that's a big story. Read it in this week's Metro Times. What else do we have, folks? We have, 8 minutes before Joanne Kurczynska Highway 61 is going to come here.
Right.
Well, if you got a computer and you want to get rid of it, there's a computer collection day, July 18th. Yeah, Wayne County Department of Environmental Goodwill Industries of Greater Detroit will hold 3 Saturday collection days for computer and computer peripheral waste this summer, including at the Dearborn location. Collection days are soon. Locations are May 9th. That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Canton DBW Yard, DPW Yard. And that's at Sheldon.
Is it the one in Dearborn or is that a...
That's at Canton. The one in Dearborn's a little later.
Okay.
Henry, one at the July 18th at Henry Ford Centennial Library. And I guess that's a nice environmental issue, so your stuff ends up in the right place.
Check that out, folks. You should be saving up even your fluorescent light bulbs. Okay, don't toss those, even the squirrely little ones that are now in your lamps, not just the long ones, because they have toxic chemicals in them that should not go into the regular landfill, as well as anything that's computer, because there's mercury on every integrated circuit chip. You should not throw those electronics out in the regular garbage or in the regular trash. So you should save them up, and it's true, it's only like, 2 times a year, I think, that they announce this. But call your local city and say, when are you going to be allowing me to drop these things off?
It's like your batteries. Take them to the city hall in Dearborn Heights. They got
also some kinds of paint that you shouldn't throw out.
Absolutely.
The building materials. There's a long list, a lot of things that people throw out regularly. By the way, the light bulb thing, the good news is it's still a little pricey, but they're coming up with LED light bulbs, light-emitting diodes, instead of the squirrely fluorescent ones. And as I said, they're a little expensive. They last a long time. They will fit in your regular screw-in light sockets, and there is no toxic chemicals in them. So there, you don't have to, but the squirrely little energy-saving ones, they save energy, and that's fine. Go with it, but don't toss them in the regular garbage.
Okay.
Susan has a story here for us.
Yes, I have a story from the Times-Herald, May 6th. And this is about the, you know, Dearborn is mulling over a pooch-friendly park. We'll go back to another pet story. Crowley Park in Dearborn could be going to the dogs, and city officials are in the evaluation stages of a project that would expand and allow Crowley to be the first of the city's 42 public parks to allow dogs. And there's a Recreation Commission subcommittee that's going to study the issue, and they're going to present their findings at a Dearborn Federated Neighborhood Association meeting. And among other things, the subcommittee is evaluating how dog parks have been implemented in surrounding communities and potential problems that could arise and whether there is a demand. I think there is a demand. Everybody's mm-hmm. looking to walk their dog somewhere.
Of course.
And currently, residents who want to take their dog to a public park have limited local options. They have to drive 5 miles away from Dearborn to find a park. Where to take their dog. So
Hines
that's,
Drive and what?
That's, it's, you know, needs to be a friendlier pet city.
And if Susan Morales has not already mentioned it, she's, of course, our host for the Forum Show on Saturday mornings, as well as Ned. Susan's show is once every 2 months right now. So tomorrow, which is the second Saturday when your show Pet Lovers
right.
Lane would debut, we do have a great show from the SETI Institute talking about science and science, space science issues. I really think it's fantastic. I found it online, and that's going to be run tomorrow. And Ned's show is going to be coming, we hope, the fourth Saturday of this month. He's on track with a great guest. Again, then and now, sort of intellectual history. We learn about what to do in the present from the past, from very, very well-educated people. I found something here, maybe ending or something else. Ned, do you have another final story?
Well, this
story
is from the college. We had our Honor Student Donors 2009 Scholarship Celebration. Mm-hmm. So we are the College Station. Henry Ford Community College recently held its annual 2009 Scholarship Celebration Breakfast at the event, which honors HFC scholarship recipients, the scholarship donors. More than 500 scholarship recipients were honored at the breakfast.
Yeah,
so,
it's wonderful here at Henry Ford Community College that we've been able to raise money. There's an ADRE scholarship that's one of our big ones. There's a golf outing coming up and a chance to raise money more. We've been very, very lucky, thanks to all the donors and support we've had, to get scholarships for needy students. Without education, you're nowhere, folks.
And we have a telephone number for more information about HFCC scholarships. Call the Office of Development at 313, of course, 845-9620. For more information on HFCC, go to the website www.hfcc.edu.
Yep. Well, here's, I think, the last story we're going to be doing today on the new WHFR Journal. Thank you for listening and all that. Of course, no other station in Detroit has a local news show like ours on a weekly basis. And if you haven't written down a phone number, or you want to hear it again, or tell your friends, they can check our website, whfr.fm. And if you click on the journal button, there's four buttons there. Ooh, it's 1 in 4 chance you'll get the wrong one. The journal button will take you to the dates of this show. And obviously today is May 8th. So if you want to listen to this show again, just go to the website anytime after 2 o'clock today in a couple minutes, and it'll be there. And you can listen anytime, day or night, to this show and keep up.
As long as you know the date.
Right. Also this week, we want to let you know, because this is big, this week nearly 3,000 students from more than 50 Southeast Michigan schools will be conducting chemical tests, examining aquatic life, and surveying the Rouge River. Every year, thousands of students in the Detroit area assess the health of their local streams and rivers through the Rouge Education Project, coordinated by the nonprofit organization Friends of the Rouge. Okay, this year's spring monitoring event will be one of the largest ever, and Dearborn High School, Long Elementary will be part of it, as well as Crestwood High and Riverside Middle School. And they may monitor up to 9 different chemical parameters of the river, including pH, dissolved oxygen, bacteria, and so on. And also, they're going to identify benthic macroinvertebrates, such as insect larvae that live in the bottom of the river, crayfish, and snails. They will also complete a physical stream survey. Yeah, to keep up with the ecology and to keep things on the right track. And it's wonderful that they're dedicating their time, and it's very educational, too, to help with this project. It began in 1987, so it's been going on. This is the 22nd year of the Friends of the Rouge project here. Friends of the Rouge, by the way, does have an office at University of Michigan Dearborn in one of their buildings.
Our next door neighbor,
just to the south of Henry Ford Community College. So we give them a lot of credit for this effort. They are a nonprofit group, and it's a wonderful educational thing they're doing. So if you see a lot of kids out there, and you think, whoa, they're playing around, let's call the cops on them. They're in that dirty water, or they might fall in or something. They're being supervised. They got a plan. They're going to help all of us to monitor the water quality, and maybe we'll get it back someday that we can drink it again directly or swim in it or something like that. That's going to take a while, I bet.
Not in our lifetime.
Well, we don't know. We wish the best to Friends of the Rouge and all the students this week. Over 3,000 from more than 50 schools in Southeast Michigan that are going to be doing that. Okay, thank you, Ned. Thank you, Susan.
Yes, thank you, Jay.
And
Ned's got to say goodbye.
No, yep. Goodbye. Okay. See you next time.
Next time. It could be sooner rather than later.
You never
and
know.
Our special guest in the studio today, observing Hal Stokes, local activist in many of these areas that we've been talking about already. So we'll talk more, Hal, and we'll get you on the air about your latest activity real soon. Okay? Thanks for listening, everybody. This is the new WHFR Journal. This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves.